Tips. Hi, this is Bikim Shak from BPM Tips, and I'm very happy to speak today with Emil Kelly. Emil has been working as a trainer and consultant for vendors of software like BPM Tooling since 1999. He also started his own initiative, Processia.nl, a valuable source of practical and common sense information about business process management and how to avoid blindly following the trends. Emil is known for his practical and unorthodox approach to BPM. He's also a contributor to BPM.com, where he is a very active participant of the discussion forum. You can also find lots of his both informative and entertaining tweets on Twitter. Thanks for joining me today, Emil.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, of course, and giving me a chance to talk to you.
Helen of your blog says about bringing the essence back into the processes. Can you tell how do you help people achieve that?
Very good question. First of all, I would say I try to do that with some kind of humor. You also said, okay, my tweets are quite entertaining, and my real job most of the time is being a trainer, and that's, of course, yeah, entertaining people. So I like to do it with some humor and to put things in a different perspective. And with a little sarcasm, and make people think, okay, what are we doing here? And that's also what my Processia.nl thing is about. Of course, there is a lot of serious stuff around BPM all over the world. You got a lot of people who can tell you something about it. But I like to take a different angle and to do it with a little bit humor. So, but back to the essence of processes, back to the essence of BPM. For example, what I could never understand is why people are discussing things like BPM versus case management versus workflow. I don't understand that. I think that drifts away from the essence. And so what I like to do, I call everything case management. A lot of people don't agree with me, but you know, that's the essence, of course. Why do you have processes to bring cases to a good end? And in fact, to deliver what you promise. So when I talk about the essence and when I'm within a company, my first simple question is, I think like many BPM consultants are doing, tell me, what are your processes? Show me your, some call it process architecture, I'd like to call it process landscape. And so that's what I always see as the essence of a process. The process is just a means. And it means to help your customers. So, and then most of the time, those are products, services, or the problems you want to solve. So, what I see a lot of things around processes are happening, like modeling, automation, things like auditing, improvement projects. But that's all nice. But in the end, why does a company have processes to deliver their products or services? So that would always be my start. And it sounds very obvious, but what I still notice when I have to help companies with some process issues, they don't have a very clear understanding of what their processes really have to deliver. So that's what I always start with. And then and probably you know it, I always use the metaphor of a drill and a hole. A lot of companies are very good in telling that they're selling drills and the drills are the best in the world and they can drill 400 RPM or whatever. But I like to make them think, okay, what customer problems are you actually solving? And customers don't want drills. They want holes and they want to hang up whatever. So that's what I call the essence. First, understand why do you have processes. And that doesn't mean go into detail. And then another thing that's very important, in my opinion, of course, is that people understand that they're already doing BPM. Because as a process is just a means, you should have, and you're already delivering products and services, you should have processes. Maybe they're not performing well, but in fact you are already doing it. And that's what I call the essence. Being aware that BPM is not something rocket science, it's not something special. It's just what you're doing every day, and then go back to the basics of a process, the essence, it is delivering your products and services. So that's my first thought, making everyone, by preferable in a company, aware what are we doing here. So make them aware of the processes and what those processes have to deliver. And yeah, where you can present it is in some kind of process landscape. Of course, so that's what I call the essence. And of course, people know in their heart or by nature what it is, but sometimes I see that lost in all kind of process things, and that's what I mean with the essence. And understanding why do we have processes, nothing more. And to me, that sounds very obvious, but somehow I experience it got lost a little bit in our world of automation and digitalization and whatever people like to talk about when it's about BPM. So
I like your approach very much. There are very many, many hypes in BPM, and you are a common sensei. How do you see the modern BPM?
Yeah, common sensei, it's also kind of a joke, of course. A Japanese sensei who is some kind of coach combined with common sense. That's somehow for a joke I'd like to call myself, for example, on LinkedIn. And but it's indeed, again, my vision. Okay, come on, people, BPM, it's what you do every day, and apply some common sense. And I always see myself as a coach. I think one of my processes is I never improved any process. My customers did. So I like to act as a coach instead of doing all the work. I'm just a little bit, okay, helping people. Okay, this is the thing you could look at. This is the thing you could look at. So indeed, that's where the common sense comes from. Modern BPM. I was thinking about that because you sent me the question. And yeah, of course, I think a lot of people would answer this question with things like digitalization, automation,
IoT, everything.
And those
robotic
kind of
process automation.
Oh yeah, we got that too. Artificial intelligence, virtual reality, Pokemon Go, whatever. And of course, that is modern stuff. That's stuff we have. And maybe that's what you could. I always say, yeah, BPM already. The Egyptians did BPM when building pyramids, but somehow in the 90s it was a little bit hijacked. The term BPM was a little bit hijacked by technology, and you got all the magic quadrants and those kind of things. But as I told you, BPM, yeah, even without software you can do BPM, but probably that's not seen as modern BPM. But technology is not for me the essence of BPM. So if I have to define modern BPM, or at least say what is a characteristic of modern BPM, I would call it transparency, maybe. You could also call it big data or something, but I think everything in this world now is so open, so transparent, and it has, to me, a big impact on all aspects of BPM. And that makes it different than, for example, 10 years ago. Transparency means, yeah, you can find, and as I told you, as I said, on different aspects of BPM, I see BPM on different levels, on a strategic level where you decide, okay, which are good processes to execute, of course, on operational level where you do the process, on monitoring level where you keep track of your cases, and maybe on process improvement level where you, now and then take a look, is this process still doing what it should do, and try to improve it. So on all those levels, I think transparency, which in case means we can see all data is coming to us, we can see a lot of things, has a big impact on BPM. For example, on more strategic level, I think nothing can be hidden anymore. And that also means that as a company, you need much more engagement with many more stakeholders than a few years ago, because everything is online, of course. Customer reviews, within a minute when you screw up, it's on the internet. Employee reviews, you got things like Classdoor, where you can read all employee reviews. When Shell, for example, spills a lot of oil in Nigeria, it is online within a minute. Or when a company is having bad labor conditions somewhere in Mexico, it's online within a minute. So everything is so open, and I think that's what I would call is it modern? But that's what's going on in BPM. And so the availability, and yeah, that's of course a hype thing too, but the availability of data means that you have to approach BPM differently. So I think it needs continuous engagement with all kind of stakeholders. Are we still doing the right things? Are we still doing the right things for customers, for employees, for the environment, whatever? So that's more on a strategical level, but of course also on operational level, you see a lot of transparency because we all know the hype term Internet of Things, but of course it's true that a lot of things, with the help of technology, of course, are logged and they are measurable, and so that means that a lot of processed data can be seen where it matters. And that's, if I have to define my mission, I would say that I would like to put as much process improvement power on the lowest level, so on execution. So with all this availability of data, you can see, for example, that with, for example, modern tools like process mining, everything gets more open and closer to execution. So that's what I really would call modern BPM, bringing everything down to where it matters, to the execution of the process. So all the people really doing the job, make them more process aware, giving them the information about the running cases, about the process performance, and also coaching them on what it means, and make them process analysts instead of doing it as a separate thing. So as I told you in the first question, I always like to start from a more process landscape view, but I think the most important is that you have to be aware that the only thing that matters for processes is that they are executed. And I think the possibility of the openness of data and the availability of information makes it possible that you can put as much process change power in the execution already, helping people to see what's going on in the processes instead of doing it in a process improvement project. No, just do it live, more live, closer to real time. And of course the core idea of lean, for example. But I think that's one thing of modern BPM. Everything gets closer to execution, and of course then it makes it possible to react faster. One of my sayings is, wouldn't it be cool that every executed case is the trigger for a better process? So instead of every 6 months taking a look at your process, no, change it when it's possible. So that's what I see as modern BPM. And one other thing, when I was thinking about this question, is with all these modern technology, of course, what I see, and I think I also wrote about something on my blog, is that in fact, what we as people need doesn't change so fast. So the why and the what of processes doesn't change so fast. But with all these new possibilities, openness of data, the how and who of processes is what can change very fast. And I've always used the very boring example of the Uber taxi service. If you take a look at that process, the why of that process hasn't changed. I want to go from A to B. I want to be brought from A to B. The what of that process also didn't change. And so the milestones, that's how I like to look at processes, didn't change. Taxi is ordered. Taxi has arrived. I've been brought to my location and I paid. So that's what not changed so fast. But the how and who of processes is what can change easily, and with all these technologies, of course. And that's what you see. So that means also that the roles in processes, in the old days, a process was mostly done within the walls of a company, but modern BPM, anyone can do it. So like, for example, what you see a lot of that customers they have to do a lot of the work themselves these days. And when I have to do something at my bank, in the old days, I went to my bank and said, this is what I need, come on. And after a week, I got it. But now I have to do a lot of things myself with the help of technology. So maybe that's even more modern BPM, that you can see that you see a big shift of roles, and that can change every day. And maybe the process manager, and that's the one who keeps track of the running cases, will be the customer in the future. I want something, and maybe with all the openness of data, I can look for the best parties to do that for me. So yeah, transparency, openness, engagement, collaboration, that's what I see as modern BPM. But in basics, BPM is always the same. There is a need, and the need will be fulfilled by the process. But yeah, in the old days, maybe that was a little bit hidden in a company like a black box, but now it's more open, and you can also see a shift of roles. And that's how I would I've used, I think, a lot of words to define what is modern BPM to me. And yeah, if to summarize it, I would say it is processes that fit in their time, that make use of what is available. And I think in this time, it's using all the openness of data and putting as much change power where it belongs during operation, not in large process improvement projects far away from execution. Of course, I did them also, but I always felt, and I think we will come to that when we talk about modeling.
Yes, you write a lot about process improvement and the value of process models. How to make sure that your process modeling effort is really worth the money and resources?
Yeah, that's a very good question, of course. And I always have a hard time. Yeah, you could easily tell that, say that, if you want to quote, process modeling is a waste of time. Okay, sometimes it is. I started, what is it now, almost 20 years ago. Then I worked for a small BPM vendor in the Netherlands. And we had a very good modeling tool at that time. Not BPM, man, that was not invented yet. It was based on PetriNets. I trained a lot of people on process modeling. And I was happy when people were able to model their processes. And at that time, I was still young and naive, of course, and I was happy when people were able to do it. But when I grew older and also did some investigation, I start wondering, why are they modeling their processes? So, and that also maybe was the reason why I started my blog, my website, profession.nl, to make people aware, please don't waste time on things that don't add much value. And of course, value is what a company can decide on its own. If they want to use process models to make working instructions, I'm fine with that. I think there are better ways, but I'm fine with that. If they want to use it, and that's of course that was in the years 90, 2000, quality certification was very important. If they want to use it for getting a ISO 9001 certificate, I'm fine with that. But then at least they thought about the goal, and hopefully they apply it well. But as I told you, what I like, what I think is most important, customers don't pay you because you model your processes. They pay you because you execute your processes. So what I always try is to bring everything as close as possible to execution. And that's hard with a model, of course, because model is some kind of, distillation of reality. And of course, when you decided somehow we want to use a BPM system, a workflow system to support the execution of your process, then you might say, okay, that the engine is built by making a model, and then it makes very good sense and it's very close to execution. But what you see a lot is that modeling is used for process improvement. And to me, it's always hard to make clear if you make a model, which most of the time, let's assume BPMN, it's quite a flat picture. It has some objects. A process to me is a lot of things working together, like, okay, maybe we can define some kind of workflow. What do we do? We can define who is doing it. We can define what data do we need. We can define what systems do we use or other supplies or something, other resources. We can decide how do we manage this process, what kind of management information do we need. And that's all those kind of things that's quite hard to put in a model and still to understand the model. And another hard thing, and I think that's when you model a process, at least that's how I do it, you always take first one case as an example and you model, okay, whatever, an invoice is coming in. What happens when an invoice comes in? But in reality, millions of invoices come in. So what you really miss in a model, in my opinion, is that what I call the dynamics of execution. And that is millions of cases running through the process. We have only a few people as executors, they go on holidays, they might be sick, maybe we need other resources, like in hospitals, you got operating room, ORs, you got surgeons, all together, they make how well the process is performing, and that's actually what I would like to know when I'm using a process model for process improvement. I want to know, first of all, that the process is not performing, so for that already you need data. Okay, that might be very obvious things like throughput time and those kind of things. But then to understand, and that's the goal of course, all those models only give you symptoms of bad process performance. What are the causes of bad process performance? And I think it's still hard to distill that from model. So that's why I think somehow you always should put that dynamics of execution on top of it to really understand how a process is really performing. And then maybe things like process mining can help you, because then if you of course have the data available, you put more dynamic information about case flows, where cases get stopped, what is throughput time, where are people working together. It's getting more alive and it's showing you more the dynamics. So that's what I always like. And of course you can use models for all kind of things. So when you want to build a system, it might be good use. When you want to use it as an instruction, it's good use. But I would never start when we're talking about process improvement on very detailed level. First, I told you before, start on a high level. What do we have this process for? And sometimes then I use things like, maybe you're familiar with it, the process model canvas. That's just a tool or a method to discuss on high level without many details. What is this process for? What is the result? What do we promise our customers? And how well are we doing it? And that should be the trigger, I think, for process improvement. You're not happy with the process. And that's why, and then I'll come back to my mission. That's actually what's the thing you should be measuring all day. And so bringing process improvement back to execution, showing people what is the performance of the process, how many cases do we have in, are those cases on time, and those kind of things. So I'm always, I have a, how do you call that, love-hate relationship with process models. What I experienced during my life, during my career, that detail is a big trap you can fall into. So I never start very detailed anymore, when we're talking about process improvement. First, be aware, what are we talking about? Does this process need improvement? Is the impact really high? And then dive in. And then I still believe that relatively flat models like BPMN miss that dynamics of execution, which, in my opinion, are very important to understand really why a process isn't performing. So then you need more things like process mining, and sometimes that information is not available. So yeah, it's hard, but at least that's how I see it. So don't start too detailed, and only add detail when you need it. And that detail can mean we want to build a system. Okay, then go ahead and build your model, deploy it, and there you got your system. So, but when we're talking about process improvement, I sometimes wonder, do models really make sense, and do they really help you? So. That's how I see it. And I'm happy to know, and I read a lot about it, because this afternoon, I think Peter Skoove of BPM.com will post a question that I think he was based on one of my tweets. And so maybe we can learn from each other. So that's my vision on modeling.
Thanks a lot. You recently led the roundtable at the BPM conference Portugal about business process management and digitalization. What were the key takeaways?
Indeed, I went to Portugal, 2-3 weeks ago. I was asked to lead a roundtable. And the theme of this year, it's a BPM conference, but the theme, like all conferences nowadays, was digital transformation. And the structure of the roundtable, at least I tried to bring some structure in it, what is digital transformation about? Why would I do it? How do I do it? And are there any pitfalls? And what does it have to do with BPM, of course? I think the conclusion was that digital transformation is quite a non-saying term. What is digital transformation? Is that, I don't send a paper mail anymore, I send email. That's also digital transformation. But I think that the conclusion was that it's more about transformation than about digital. It's about understand how you can stay relevant in the current world, where indeed everything is so open, everything is so data driven, and that is partly technology, of course, but a lot of mindset. It's understanding what your customers really want instead of selling the drills. Being aware what their holes are, and also being aware you're competing now in a much different world where. Based on technology, solutions for problems can be found in many different ways. So was more or less the conclusion. So it's about engaging more with your customers, with your employees, and being more. My goal was not to use this word in this interview. Being more agile, being more adaptive to what's going on, and that's more a culture shift. Than a technology shift. At least that was the conclusion of the roundtable, and maybe another conclusion was that. Let me think how to state this. That of course you got your daily operation, but maybe that culture shift should be seen as something separate from it. So let's call it innovation. Separated from each other. Okay, do what you're doing, help your customers now, and the only time when you can help your customers is now. But next to that, create some kind of innovative culture where you engage more with your customers. So main conclusion, digital transformation is more a cultural shift within companies, but maybe within the whole world instead of technology. And that was the conclusion. Whether or not it's true, more or less that was what people concluded during the roundtable. And I agree with that. I think it's about new business models, new ways of engaging with your customers. And I always see the technology as a means to get there. And that's my opinion. And so I agreed with that vision, and probably some don't, but at least that's what happened in Portugal, yeah.
Okay, you mentioned agile and adaptability. May I ask additional question?
Sure.
You recently wrote about flexibility versus adaptability of your business process. Yep. Could you tell what are the differences, why it is important to have adaptable business processes?
Yeah, I wrote a piece about the difference, and I call them flexibility and adaptability, where flexibility is when the cases are still in your process, can you act? For example, I always take very simple examples. Pizzeria. I'm ordering a pizza, and they promised me we will deliver it within 30 minutes. And when you got some kind of dashboard, you'll see, oh, Mr. Kelly's pizza, there's a big chance it will not be delivered on time. Are you still able to act and do something like pick that one up first? That's what I call flexibility. Changing when it really matters for a customer. And adaptability means more traditional process improvement. And I think that's always important too. That means that you are aware that the way you designed your process, the way you're doing things, might not fit anymore after a while because of many things, because of different customer wishes, because of more competition, because of different laws. And then you'll see that a process is a combination between a lot of things, and they all should be in sync. And there are a lot of stakeholders of processes. Of course, the most important to me is still the customer that wants something that can change. Maybe you got your things like a loss and those kind of things that can change. Maybe you got your more financial things your ownership and that wants different things. So there can always be new needs. So I would always be aware of that. And don't be afraid to change. And there are still processes that can continue forever, maybe in the way they are designed, but more and more, of course, you have to be aware, okay, things can change, be aware of that. So that's why I think that it's important. And also because there's much more engagement with the customer. If you do something wrong, within a minute, it's on the internet. And maybe you can change it. Maybe you can improve it. And the best way, of course, is to prevent it. So that's why I like flexibility more than adaptability. But many times change is just needed to stay fit within your environment. So, I think that's important. And nothing stays the same, I think.
I like that you shared so many practical and actionable tips with the listeners. Could you share the number one tip that would like with the BPM professionals, the most important thing that they should remember from this interview?
First of all, and that's some kind of joke, of course, my first tip would be there's more in life than BPM. No one will be remembered when he dies. He was a good BPM consultant. So, please enjoy your family, your life, your friends, and be kind to everyone. But that's just a general tip. Because, in the old days, I was very busy. Every day I was doing BPM, but there's more important things. But about BPM, first of all, I think, and I know a lot of people do not agree with me, that BPM is nothing special. It's not something you can implement. It's not something you can buy. Yes, you can implement a BPM tool. You can buy a BPM tool. You can do a project to improve your process. But BPM, to me, is just daily business. And be aware of that. And make your employees aware of that. What we are doing here is helping our customers, and yes, we have process for that. And yes, you are a contributor to that process. So show them the information about the process, what is expected of the process, how well it is going, and make and put as much responsibility on the work floor. And that's easily said than done, of course. I'm a big fan of self-steering teams and those kind of things, and I know in certain environments that's not possible, but at least I would try it, because I think the most valuable process information, it's in the process itself, in the execution. That's where things happen. And that's where you can change things. So one of my sayings is, if you got 450 employees, you got 450 process improvement employees, 450 process analysis. So in general, the tip would be, don't see BPM as something special, but be aware processes can always be improved. There's a lot of stuff around there and that you can use to make your process better, but always be aware you already have your processes. So make them clear first, at least make the process result clear, and then try to understand how well are we doing, how often does this process need to change, how do we change, who do we make responsible, and use everything around there. So the data is there's so much data, and I think the last discussion on BPM.com was about data, and I think one of the conclusions was bring that data into the context of a process, and I think that that's a very good tip too. So that's what I would say. Don't see BPM as something you are not able of. You're already doing it, and you only can do it better. So let's get on.
I like very much your practical approach. There are many things that people can learn from. What are the best resources that you would like to recommend to people interested in BPM?
There are so much sources everywhere. So I'll just call some names from the old days, and I don't think he's writing so much anymore. I still like Adam Dean. He always writes in funny, very funny ways about BPM. He always had a blog, Adam Dean. So that's still, but I think he stopped with it. So, but he just popped in my mind when you talk about BPM versus making it a little bit more more fun. About BPM itself, I've always been a big fan of Alex Sharp. Not sure if you know him. If you got a chance, please interview him. He got a very common sense way of looking at processes, of looking at organizations. I think he wrote a book. I'm not sure if he has a website or a blog, but he has a Twitter account. So Alex Sharp, I would advise to take a look at. And of course, every day new people stand up talking about BPM. So recently I'm following, not sure if I pronounce his name well, Roger Trigger of an Australian company. He writes very small articles on BPM, small subjects, good understandable. And yeah, of course, why do I like it? Because I agree with him. So Roger Trigger, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Trigger. Roger Trigger. I had a chance to interview him.
Okay, I didn't see. So that's what I would like. If you're more interested in BPM versus technology, maybe BPM.com is a good source. There still, most of the time, the vision is BPM is something with software, and most of the time it is, of course. But when you're on LinkedIn, for example, when you say, oh, that's an interesting story about BPM, be aware it's not try to skip from vendors. I work for a vendor myself, of course, but I think BPM is more than software. And I always like what Sandy Kemsley is writing. She's an analyst, and she more from a technical point of view. She writes a lot about all the conferences she is visiting. But a lot of sources, and so now and then I retweet about it. So that's also how I share things. I like to share things, and but personally, I'm also very interested in the wider aspect of BPM. As I told you, a process is not only an automated workflow, it's also the people who are doing it. It's the data we need on different levels, on execution, on monitoring, on improvement. So when you're talking about people, it's about behavior. How do you manage people? How do you react people? So more on all kinds of business. So what are new business models? What are new ways to organize things? That's what I also like to read about. So always be aware that BPM, which still has some kind of workflow automation taste some of the time. I always read a lot that BPM is about making your processes more efficient and those kind of things. No, that could be a goal, but I think it's always about effectiveness. making processes do what you promise. And then, of course, you can try to make it cheaper, better, faster, whatever. So, but making useless things more efficient doesn't make much sense to me. So, So my advice about resources, don't see BPM as something very small. It's daily business within in a company, and try to widen your view about it with also things like, and of course we all know Simon Sinek with his start with why and leaders eat last and those kind of things. But those are really things that influence processes. And how do you treat your people has immediately effect on your processes and your customers. So I think I am somehow of a natural curious in how companies work. And there are so much sources. But when we're talking about BPM, I would say Alex Sharp, Sandy Kemsley, BPM.com, Roger Tredger. So those are the people. Yeah. I'd like to follow, and because they sound quite common sense to me, and that's what I like. Don't make things too complex. They might be complex, but don't start with complexity first.
Thank you very much for a great interview.
You're welcome.